To hear him tell it, the French have become strangers in their own land. Far-right pundit Eric Zemmour officially launching his bid for president with a 10-minute video clip on YouTube that looks like a crash course on replacement theory. Immigrants supposedly taking over violently, all to the dramatic sound of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. We'll ask our panel about this unorthodox campaign launch and a far-right pundit whose fortune seemed linked to billionaire businessman Vincent Bolloré, who made him a star of his opinion-driven French answer to Fox News. Just as Fox and reality TV show The Apprentice helped Donald Trump along the way, could Zemmour really make the jump from pundit to president? Judging by the polls, he's still got a lot of convincing to do. Granted, there is a lot of time left between now and April. Will France's roaring economic rebound continue if new COVID variants get in the way? Do the French want a rematch of 2017 when Emmanuel Macron faced the far-right's traditional standard-bearer, Marine Le Pen? 5 years on, and in the current context, what do voters in France want from their politicians? Today in the France 24 debate, we're looking at Zemmour's run for president. Joining us, Bruno Cotres, researcher at the French Political Science Institute's Sciences Po's research wing, CEVIPOF. Thanks for joining us. We'll be joined shortly by commentator Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, and with us from Chichester, England, Andrew Smith, senior lecturer in contemporary history and politics at the University of Chichester. I always wonder if I'm mispronouncing Chichester. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, you got it.
I do got it. Okay, goof. Nice to see you again, Andrew. The France 24 debate on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag F24debate. Yeah, after the launch, perhaps the lawsuits, movie makers, news organizations, including France 24, by the way, calling out the candidate for using their images without consent in that YouTube video. Let's look back first at that unorthodox, again, campaign kickoff. Keris Garland has that story.
His intention to run for president had been apparent for weeks, but that didn't stop Eric Zemmour from seeking to create suspense, counting down to his announcement.
Il n'est plus temps de réformer la France, mais de la sauver. C'est pourquoi j'ai décidé de me présenter à l'élection présidentielle.
Seated in front of a microphone and a printed speech, Zemmour took inspiration from Charles de Gaulle's 1940 call to join the resistance. Only the 9-minute video was peppered with anti-migrant rhetoric and warnings the France of Joan of Arc and Louis XIV was disappearing. The country's extreme right has traditionally been represented by Marine Le Pen's national rally. The party said Zemmour's announcement was a non-event.
Il y avait zéro suspense, comme il y a zéro programme, comme il y a zéro maîtrise de soi, comme il y a zéro équipe.
The 63-year-old's formal entry to the presidential race came as no surprise to the French.
Il a bien pris la température et quand le bain était bon, bah, il a décidé de sauter dedans.
C'est pas en accord avec mes opinions, mais c'est un candidat comme un autre, voilà.
A former TV commentator, Zemmour has twice been convicted for hate speech and warns in his best-selling books about what he calls the colonization of France by Muslims. After a rapid rise in opinion polls over the past few weeks, Zemmour's popularity appears to have fizzled recently. This weekend, he was booed across Marseille and then gave the middle finger to a passerby after she did the same. The presidential hopeful now has to round up funding and gather 500 signatures from elected officials necessary to put him on the ballot. Zemmour's due to hold his first official campaign meeting on Sunday.
Okay, so growing pains, obviously, when it comes to running a political campaign for Zemmour. His first big rally is coming up this weekend. What do you make of this launch, Bruno Cotres?
Because actually it was for Eric Zemmour, he chose particularly the day to announce that he was candidate, particularly the day where there was a big debate of Les Républicains, and also Les Républicains are about to choose their candidate for the election. And so Eric Zemmour wanted obviously to compete with that. And he chose particularly that day also because it was starting to have some question about is he going to run finally? Does he have the motivation to go to the end? And so it was very important for Eric Zemmour to show up and finally to explain to the French why he want to be candidate. We do not have exactly the answer. We have a very general response to that big question. We know a little bit about what he would like to do if he would be elected French president, but we know that what he wants to do, he wants to save France.
Wants to save France, don't we all? 2.2 million people, when I last checked, had watched that the full-length YouTube video. 7 million watched him on the main 8 o'clock news show on TF1.
Yes, there is clearly an interest for that new candidate. People want to know exactly who is Eric Zemmour. Frankly speaking, was not well known in France. He was well known by people watching the news, people following politics, obviously, but many voters did not know who is Eric Zemmour. And so there is a big interest. People want to know who are the candidates, and we know that we have this presidential election, which is going to have personalization. People want to know the new persons and the new candidate.
Okay, so this is the number one question that friends outside of France ask me. You already have Marine Le Pen. Why do we need this guy?
Eric Zemmour's main, main motivation is to explain that Marine Le Pen, she's not capable to win the election. She will never beat Emmanuel Macron. And in the beginning, Eric Zemmour explained to that part of the French electorate, the very right conservative part of the French electorate, that Marine Le Pen went to the limits, that she can't go ahead of that. And so that was the main motivation, and Eric Zemmour belongs to a group of people inside the right that want to get what they call the unity of the right. The unity of the right for them is to unify the far right, with the part of that conservative right. So that's the main motivation, but we know that Eric Zemmour has a constant perspective on France, which is that France is no longer what it used to be. France is declining, French identity, we lost it, and he wants to get back to the old times where we knew what was to be French exactly, and the France that we have lost, according to Eric Zemmour, because of immigration.
Because of immigration. Andrew Smith, what did you make of those 10 minutes and 21 seconds in that video?
Well, you mentioned the viewing figures, and I think, of course, it was well watched, but I think important to note that horror films do pretty well at the box office. And I think this was, a real horror show. Of course, we know, as you mentioned, he had pilfered many of the images that were used throughout. I think he pilfered a lot of the ideas as well, both from himself, from his work, the French Suicide, his book, that kind of miserablest reading of France. But it's the kind of stuff that somebody like Houellebecq has been doing, Michel Houellebecq has been doing in a kind of satirical zone. It's, of course, peddling these ideas about Haino Camus and this replacement idea. I think in many ways he is a kind of cipher for the very worst of what France could be.
Here's the interesting bit. Like in that video, he calls out by name lots of figures from French history, including figures you wouldn't associate with that kind of thinking, like Victor Hugo, Blaise Pascal. I'm just giving those two as an example. Yeah. Figures of enlightenment.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he rattles through a kind of greatest hits of France, including, people that would have absolutely abhorred his execrable politics and his, awful and pessimistic view about the Republic. And I think he is a man of the past. His whole message was about the past. And we've heard him before commenting on things like the Dreyfus Affair. I think he is a man of, the kind of political surroundings of somebody like Maurras or Barrès. He's a man of that past period. I don't see it as being a viable vision, a meaningful vision. Of course, we talked there about the idea of where he positions himself in the right. And you mentioned the idea of the unity of the right. Of course, he has around him people. You mentioned, of course, the very wealthy backer in CNews. And of course, there's other people like Philippe de Villiers. There's, of course, he's very friendly with Robert Ménard. And we know, of course, that there's kind of friendships, people like Marion Maréchal Le Pen. And of course, the other kind of big idea is that he's there almost as a stalking horse to essentially discredit and divide support for Marine Le Pen in order to back those future right candidates in 2027 and beyond. I mean, there's all kinds of things, because people look at this and say, who is this dreadful, dreadful man and his dreadful, dreadful politics.
Yes. All right. Is he a Manchurian candidate? We'll put that to the panel in a moment. We're joined now by Philippe Moreau-Chevalier, and it's a pleasure to have you, Philippe. First, let's a little bit of semiotics as the political consultant on the panel here. The idea of setting himself up with a microphone, clearly it's supposed to look a little bit like your General de Gaulle from London speaking to the Free French. What do you make of that?
His main coin phrase was to say that we need to save France and we don't need to reform it anymore. We need it to be saved, and that sums it up. He looked very much like Charles de Gaulle. Of course, it's staged in order for him to look like Charles de Gaulle on the eve of the World War II, and he's in a fight, a war, you could say, and it's against a lot of images that you can see in a very quick succession. It's a populist video, which is very efficient and very clear with a strong message. And it's really like Trump, a video from Donald Trump. It's the same logic, the same images, you know, shocking images of violence, of fires, of police being attacked, of hospitals being under siege. That's really the succession of
and Philippe, yeah. there's also the fact that it's on YouTube, and YouTube has been a place where a lot of conspiracy theorists have met, and it seems to be a great place for people who want to rail against the system and who say that the elites don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's very true. That's the very place where, you know, people who believe in UFOs, in worldwide plots, you know, people with strange beliefs, but mainstream beliefs that tend to be strange, but mainstreams but you have to take into account that this video was released at a precise time at noon, and every channel, TV channel in the country, not YouTube anymore, but every TV channel in the country, news TV channel, 24 hours news TV channel, they were broadcasting this video live. So it's like, it was a huge thing. It went much bigger than what it was supposed to be. She has been viewed by 2.2 million people already. And we don't take into account into that the many, many viewers that were in front of their TV watching at Eric Zemmour. So it's unprecedented. And I don't agree that it's a man from the past. My belief and my fear is that he's a man of the present, and that's what we should be.
Well, let's delve into that right now. We asked, is he working for someone else? For most of his long career, Eric Zemmour was mostly a print journalist. Before becoming a mainstay, he was the right-wing guy you brought on as a pundit on TV panels. Enter Vincent Bolloré. Vincent Bolloré made his name through the family transport and logistics business. He's a billionaire entrepreneur. He's become a household name in Africa, most notably through his ports and shipping concessions. Then came the buyout of Vivendi, and with it, a media empire that includes pay TV Canal Plus and its cable news channel, iTélé, which he rebranded as CNews, with opinion-driven chat shows, the undisputed star there, Éric Zemmour. And when popular news magazine Paris Match, for instance, ran a photo of the 63-year-old married father of three in the arms of a 28-year-old, Sarah Knafo, she works on his campaign, Match's chief editor was soon after fired by Vincent Bolloré, who's the new boss as well of Hachette and therefore of Paris Match. Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, have co-written a comic book on Vincent Bolloré trying to make the next president. You picked a popular TV figure, Cyril Hanouna, as your character instead. Is this all the brainchild of Vincent Bolloré?
I think Vincent Bolloré is very much what the British would call a punk. He doesn't believe in anything really, apart from very conservative views, but he's more of an anarchist on the right side. And what he seems to be willing to do is to destroy the actual situation of power of the elite. He's very much against Parisian elites. He's been said to be resentful against Emmanuel Macron and especially against his wife, Brigitte Macron. But hang on.
That can't be that, to blow up the system. That can't be good for business. This is the same Vincent Bolloré that invited Nicolas Sarkozy on his yacht when he was elected.
Yes, but you have to understand that he doesn't care, really. First of all, many of his assets are abroad, not in France. And secondly, it's like he has a revenge to take against. It's like a Count of Monte Cristo. He has something to... a revenge to take against the Parisian elite. That's very strong in him. You can feel almost physically that he dislikes the he dislikes Paris. He dislikes the palace, the technocrats, and he has now the liberty, the freedom, the means, the financial means, and also more and more the political control in order to achieve what seems to be his goal, which is to replace the old system by a very conservative one, or maybe by something like an anarchist system that he would control. It's very peculiar. I mean, we didn't see that kind of guy with so much power yet. That's the first time.
Bruno Cotres, there's been plenty of captains of industry in this country who've owned media companies. Is Vincent Bolloré the French Rupert Murdoch?
It looks like, yes, very powerful, having an amazing influence now, which is not, I think he has not reached the limits of what he wants to get from the French mediatic system. Some people are saying that he's also looking to the Figaro. And so it is like constructing an empire. And one of the facets of constructing a powerful empire is obviously to have at one stage some political implications to support one candidate. And it is true that you cannot explain the emergence of Éric Zemmour without the CNews effect. He has been amazingly successful on CNews, Éric Zemmour, the TV shows that he was participating to, that he was even leading. Actually was amazingly successful, having an amazing audience. And so I think that, Philippe is right. There is probably a revenge aspect in the motivations of Bolloré, certainly. And for a political enterprise like the one that Éric Zemmour wants to do, you need at one stage a big media which is supporting to you, and you need the chamber of echo of media, obviously.
An echo chamber.
Yes, an echo chamber, and you need that. And because most of the people do not have the time to read Éric Zemmour, to buy the books and to read Éric Zemmour. So he got an amazing channel to disseminate what he's thinking about, and the major ideas of Éric Zemmour went first through the CNews channel.
Through CNews, he suddenly had this meteoric rise. Again, do you feel as though he's his own man? And do you agree with Philippe Morochevolet, who says he's not a man of the past, this is a man of the present?
I would say that he's certainly not a man of the future, but he corresponds to one present situation where there is like a French depression. It is not a recent story, actually. It started a long time ago. You know that at Sciences Po we are doing an annual survey, which is...
comes out in February.
Yes, it is on political trust, attitude to democracy of the French, and we can clearly see since about 10 years the growing dissatisfaction of the French towards the political system, the way that they are looking to the politicians, selfish, not empathetic, not caring about ordinary citizens. I'm not sure that Éric Zemmour would, if he would be elected, that he would be perceived as someone who is caring the ordinary life of the ordinary citizens. But we can see that phenomenon, which is growing and growing. It is not actually so surprising when you are looking to the data that we accumulate. It was not so surprising to have something like Éric Zemmour. It could have been someone else.
And actually, but you did have some. You did have someone else. You had Marine Le Pen.
Yes, but we have Marine Le Pen. But Marine Le Pen, now she's no longer a new candidate, and she was obliged to go inside the system. She's She's going to run for the election for the third time. She's a leader of a party. So more or less, she's still against the system, but she's inside the system also. And what Eric Zemmour, what the way that Eric Zemmour wants to make the difference is to explain that I am alone. I am not a specialist and a professional of politics. I have not a political party. And so he can be the incarnation of the one who is going to save because he's from the outside of the system, which is typically a populist rhetoric.
All right. Let's this something really important in what he said in that video, and those were his final words. In the United States, presidents and politicians always conclude a speech with the phrase, God bless America. Zemmour's candidacy announcement included a new wrinkle on France's closing line. Listen carefully.
Il n'est plus temps de réformer la France.
It is not time to reform France, but to save it, which is why I have decided to run for president. Join me, stand up. We the French have always triumphed over everything. Long live the Republic and long live France.
Vive la France.
So, Andrew Smith, it's not long live the Republic and long live France. Vive la République, vive la France. It's long live the Republic and above all, long live France. That's written down. It isn't improvised. What's that about?
It's a bit worrying, isn't it? The two are, in that rhetoric, they are separate entities. They are separate entities, and we know which one is the one he's going for. For me, this is the language of the past. This is the language of, you know, the Third Republic of Action Française. This is the language of, you know, the Vichysois, which he seeks to apologize for. This is, I think, about understanding where those difficulties arise. And of course, you mentioned, you know, is he going to be the empathetic candidate people are looking for? Of course not. He's the candidate of the middle finger to France, in terms of the ordinary candidate and all the rest of it. We've seen this in the UK, the employment of what people call career psychopaths, like Dominic Cummings in politics. And we saw where that leads to, usually incriminations, especially internal ones, when power is not as kind of forthcoming as it looks to be. I think this is something within that rhetoric that is very, very politically worrying. I don't think he is a man, you know, there's no mention of really of, you know, meaningful economics. There's no mention of any meaningful policies, except for the fact that he doesn't like people from elsewhere. And we know very well that. So I would.
But know, again, I hark back to it. Long live the Republic and above all, long live France. You know, France was a state before it was a nation, which is not the case in, say, neighboring Germany or Italy. Where they were nations long before they were a unified state. Putting basically the nation above the state, that's not something you hear usually.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is where it comes back to. And it's why it ties into all of those ideas of an imagined past. It's why when you start to talk about the France of Joan of Arc, it conjures up very, very different from the France of Victor Hugo. It's why, you know, that kind of idealized vision of the past allows you to stretch back, cherry pick, and do all these things. We see people do it constantly on the right. You know, his friend Robert Ménard is an old hand at it down in Béziers. This idea of a long past. You know, Ménard talks about going right back to the Cathars and about that idea of like what it means to be part of this sort of Biterrois kind of background. Of course, Zemmour does the same thing, reaches right back and finds this vibrant story for today about Joan of Arc. Of course, that's not a France that we recognise. That's not the Republic. That's part of this longer story. It's part of this myth, this narrative. But this is a selective, mythical nation, which is why I invoked that idea of Action Française, because that, to me, is the politics that this speaks of. I think backed up by some extremely contemporary political manoeuvring around those media ideas. So I think I would agree he's not a man of the past in terms of his media strategies, but his ideas, his politics. I think France has met before, and thankfully, France has defeated them before.
Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, is he, because you heard there Andrew Smith mentioning Action Française, which was a royalist organization. Is he a royalist? Is he a Bonapartist? Yeah. Is he just Eric Zemmour? What is he?
He's a populist. He's a Trump. He doesn't care really about the impact that middle finger could have on public opinion. He thinks that basically he will be winning against any opponent he might encounter because he has a narrative precisely as you said he has a narrative, and his narrative is, you know, his views are shared according to a very recent poll dated of today, and these views are shared by many of his views are shared by like 50% of the population, which is kind of concerning. And it's not like he's not a marginal figure lost in the corner of our otherwise civilized political spectrum. What I think is that he is using very contemporary tools. He knows how to use them. He's not completely professional because he went on TV the very same day. And he tried to argue against a journalist that interviewed him live, and he was very bad at it. So it's like he's not completely
or does he make gravy out of the fact that here he got into an argument before during that interview in primetime news and afterwards?
Frankly, he was lame because he didn't manage to overtake the argument. He didn't manage to, seize power, as you should do, and as most candidates for the presidency know perfectly well how to do. I mean, you have a journalist that tried to interview you, and you will, in a way, dominate him and impose what you have to say to him. He was not able to do that. He was pleading with the journalist to be treated like a candidate and not like a columnist that he was before. He was defeated, really, and he was resentful against the journalist, insulted the journalist in the end. So he didn't win that. But I think my view is that it's precisely because he's a populist candidate. The populists don't win the usual way. They don't win by playing the media the usual way. Zelensky in Ukraine was elected very much without giving any interview.
So he's going to, the less he's going to learn from it, perhaps, is going outside of the traditional
Should stay outside of these traditional interviews and do his own thing. I personally think that it's good that he's not a complete professional populist, but that's his main problem for the moment, I guess. He wants to be, it was almost like he wanted the journalist to tell him that it was okay. He had passed the exam, and he was an official candidate, and he could be interviewed like Macron would be interviewed. It's not possible. He is a populist. He's a radical. His views are really, violent. So he can be treated the same way as Macron would, and I think it's normal. But he didn't expect that, apparently.
Bruno Cotres, you mentioned at the outset of our conversation how the timing of his candidacy comes when he's perhaps trying to steal a bit the limelight as the mainstream conservatives picking a candidate. Last night, the final debate. Today, the first round of voting for among rank and file of the party. Zemmour's candidacy video drops also just hours before the incumbent led ceremonies to lay Joséphine Baker to rest at the Panthéon, the Paris monument where the Republic buries its heroes. Emmanuel Macron expanding on the rags-to-riches tale of Joséphine Baker, and poor African-American who'd go from music hall fame to resistance hero and civil rights icon. It was interesting because we're talking about Zemmour as being Trumpian. There you have Emmanuel Macron also acting a bit American. This aspirational tale of this rags to riches tale, that's very American, isn't it?
Yes, and yesterday you could see that the day was very important for French politics and for the election. It was not a snooker day, I would say, where everyone is going to play at once. It's a very strategic coup. And actually, Macron on yesterday made their between the lines references to Eric Zemmour by saying that Joséphine is my France or my France is Joséphine. And it was clearly a between the lines message to Eric Zemmour, which is that France is good, according to Macron, if France accepts her to be welcoming to people coming from the outside, joining the French Republican values. And it is also a response to what we were talking about before, when Éric Zemmour is concluding the speech by saying, Vive la République and above, vive la France, which is clearly a message which is explaining that contrary to the mainstream model in France. The mainstream political model is that French Republic is the only way to achieve liberté, égalité, fraternité. We even talk about republican equality. So, and the message of Eric Zemmour is that France does exist before the Republic. He's talking about the eternity of France. And so we are going to have, I think we are going to have a difficult...
So wait, if that's the battle...
Yes.
How does Macron fare against Zemmour?
Yes, progressively you could see that some element of the political battlefield are there already. You have two big rhetorics and two big narratives. The one of Emmanuel Macron, which is going to be still exactly like in 2016 and 17, which is emancipation.
Aspirational, that things can get better. Earlier you were talking about...
positive things.
Yeah.
And the other big rhetoric, which is going to be Eric Zemmour, but also Marine Le Pen. I think that we have to be very cautious. We should not say that Eric Zemmour has completely replaced Marine Le Pen. She's still leading in the voting intentions. So she also has her own rhetorics, which is also a little bit competitive with the one of Eric Zemmour. And one of the main differences between the two is that Marine Le Pen, she still got the working class and the popular classes support.
Yeah, whether or not, by the way, Zemmour can leapfrog Marine Le Pen in the polls. The last couple of weeks he stalled, by the way. You can see it on this chart. One certainty when you look at this graph is that the nation that elected a socialist not too long ago, 2012, seems to really have deserted the left. If you combine all of the voting intentions of the far left, the socialists, and the Greens, you get to the same score as Emmanuel Macron. Remember, in France, we have a two-round system. So it's all about making it past the post in the first round. And the right seems to be holding the lion's share. It's still early days, though, Andrew Smith, and the future is unwritten. Of course, as you were saying earlier, Andrew, the election may not be decided at all about these issues of values, but rather on who's going to manage the economy in a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned, you know, obviously last time around, the last presidential election, Marine Le Pen came unstuck on issues of economics, on the kind of the hard yards, the numbers, the complicated bits. And she looked unprofessional. She looked, you know, very much the far-right politician out of their depth in the mainstream governance. And Macron, of course, excelled in that moment. And that was very much the story of the 2017 election. I think we've got to be wary of a kind of trap here as well. You mentioned this kind of demise of, that kind of big vote for the left in France at the moment. But one of the worries about this, about Zemmour as well, is that it drags the political window a certain way, so that suddenly, you know, Marine Le Pen looks like this sort of centrist candidate or some nonsense like that. I mean, she's still there. You know, Zemmour said he couldn't tell the difference between Macron and Marine Le Pen, but, you know, I hope the rest of us can. She is, I think, still, of course, somebody that appeals in a different way, and we've seen different elements of gaucho Le Penism, as you said, an appeal to working class people. It's been something that was the kind of the narrative around the rise of the Rassemblement National, the Front National. But also, you know, Zemmour doesn't really appeal to those same people. He is the kind of a man of the petty bourgeoisie, a man of the sort of the edgelord, as it were. You know, this kind of idea of a middle finger to France, and that's all that matters. I think absolutely this election ultimately, I think, will be decided on issues that matter in terms of governance. I think it's going to be big in terms of Emmanuel Macron taking on the presidency on behalf of France, of the EU Council. I think there will be, of course, a lot of focus on the idea of the economic recovery. I think there will also be some issue around security. Of course, the trial for the November 2015 attacks continues. I think these issues will all return. They will tie into values. But ultimately, I think Zemmour will fall away. I think he remains a stalking horse in this election, one who is disrupting, who is shifting that political window right. And actually, I think he was probably doing some good service to Marine Le Pen, ultimately.
Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, you agree? Philippe, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you. Sorry, I was on mute. Not to disturb the sound. Concerning that, the evolution of the campaign, we can't really predict what would be the themes that the French will want to, in the end, discuss during the last. I know many French are very much angry at the EU for the moment. It's not like we would go for a French exit or Frexit, I don't know how to call it, but there is a lot of resentment. So I'm not too sure that this EU presidency will be good ultimately for the image of Emmanuel Macron during the fight. I think he's much more comfortable with not talking about it, especially if he wants to gain traction amongst the right-wing voters. And I think it could serve both Zemmour and Marine Le Pen well, because it's they will play on the fact that we need to, you know, recover from the...
Philippe, I'm going to interrupt you because starting to lose the connection a little bit. So maybe what we'll do is we'll call you back and try to reconnect. Okay. Apologies for that. Bruno Cotres, we saw in 2017 how Marine Le Pen storms into the second round because it is the outsiders versus the elites, the losers and winners of globalization. This time around, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Are people going to want to go with the protest vote as described by Andrew Smith?
That's an excellent question. A few months ago, I was mostly thinking about that France and French doesn't want a big change for the next election because we are exhausted with the COVID crisis, but also we've got the yellow vest before. So it is nearly 3 years that France is living in a permanent state of crisis and less crisis. So can you really wish a big change, a radical change? What Eric Zemmour is proposing also is absolutely a radical change. It's quasi a change of republic. It's quasi a change of a political regime that Eric Zemmour is proposing to us. So I'm not sure that at the end of the day, the French voter would like to have a new period of difficult time, contestation, demonstrations. We've got the dose. We've got...
Have you got any early sampling from that Cevipof survey that you're doing?
Yes. The aspiration to have someone who is going to at the same time, who is going to explain why France is that it is in such a state. Why do we have so much difficulties? Why did we get the yellow vest crisis? We don't get the vaccine during the COVID crisis. The beginnings of the crisis was super chaotic in terms of governing and managing the crisis. Emmanuel Macron is going to present what he did for the COVID at the end as what he wants to do for the second mandate, which is actually to be efficient, to care about what is not working in France. It's going to be difficult for Macron anyway. It's not an easy election for Emmanuel Macron. I do not believe that the election is done already for Emmanuel Macron. No one has a pre-booked seat for the second round of the election. No one, including Macron, because the situation is not only very difficult. And we've got all these difficult times that we've got. So I'm not sure that French voter would like to have a radical change. And eventually, one key point of the election, of the next election, is going to be what is going to happen on the right, on the center-right. Who is going to be the candidate of the center-right? And finally, what one of the consequences of Eric Zemmour dynamics could be to get lower the qualification levels for the second round, that you can eventually get qualified for the second round with 15, 16, 17% of the share of the vote. So, which is making the election amazingly unpredictable.
Yeah, the candidates who made the runoff, Philippe Rochevrolet, back in 2017, both above 20%. There seems to be a bigger field so far because we don't know if they'll have their candidacies validated. But just a quick final word on this. You heard Bruno Cotres. The surprise perhaps won't come from the populists, but from a more traditional corner, from the center-right.
agree. We don't know it. We don't know. It's still some. I think some. It stirs some things in the public debate. It imposed a vision that is very negative on the state of France. It was already negative before Zemmour started speaking about it, but it's very much emphasized that. And we maybe you know, set the right candidate, more moderates that could represent middle one between Macron style and Zemmour or Marine Le Pen style. Maybe it could be the choice that we make in the end, because as Bruno Cotres said, we don't want to go into another crisis. And if we do go into another crisis deliberately by voting for Zemmour, Marine Le Pen, it will mean that really, really the country is at its wit's end, that we are in a national depression, and that the negativity that we have is winning over. That's very well may happen. That's why I'm not as optimistic as the other speakers, maybe, but because we can feel that, you know.
Even if unemployment right now is low and the economy is recovering.
Yeah. Maybe that's okay. I mean, if jobs are going up as it is, it's very well, it's okay too. But the fact is, the perception of the well-being of the economy is much lower than. I mean, you can have a very perfect economical situation. If people think that the situation is bad, they will still keep that belief very long time.
It's all about perception. Yeah. Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, I want to thank you so much.
It's
I want
all
to thank
about his, perception.
I want to thank Andrew Smith for joining us from Chichester. Bruno Cotres, thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.